Global COVID-19 vaccine distribution is top of the agenda on the final day of the G7 summit. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Foreign ministers meeting here in the British capital today are under increased pressure to help find a solution to uneven coronavirus vaccine distribution. Former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown urged the group to act out of medical necessity, saying only 1% of doses delivered worldwide have been administered in low-income countries. Indeed, India accounted for 46% of the new cases reported worldwide last week, and a quarter of all deaths as it battles a devastating second wave. In fact, the country's foreign minister is now in isolation at the G7 here in London after some of his own delegation tested positive for the virus. Meanwhile, pilots from Air India, who have been transporting critical medical equipment, including oxygen containers and ventilators, are threatening to stop flying until they're vaccinated. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee has more from New Delhi.
A pilots' union has written a letter to the management accusing them of not prioritizing their staff's health and safety at a time when India is battling an aggressive second wave of COVID-19 infections. Sources have confirmed to the BBC that at the moment there are at least 70 pilots who are down with the virus. The letter states that pilots are struggling to get access to medical care and have not been getting any support from the management. The union has pressed for urgent vaccinations for all. In the letter, the pilots also make an emotional argument, saying they have been on the front lines flying thousands of stranded Indians to safety during the pandemic, but now they felt they were left to fend for themselves. Air India responded to say that they are looking at vaccinating their staff by the end of this month. In Delhi, I am the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
Well, to further help the vaccination effort there, India's central bank said it'll unleash $6.7 billion in cheap financing for vaccine makers, hospitals and health companies like oxygen makers. The loans will be available until the end of next March. Checking some other numbers, global shares are higher with benchmarks in London, Paris and Frankfurt up in the 1% range. To Brazil now, where the country's Congress is considering a bill that would expand property rights for illegal land grabbers in the Amazon rainforest. Environmental campaigners say the move would legitimize illegal deforestation. Now, a group of European companies have threatened to stop using Brazilian agricultural goods if the bill is made law. The BBC's Candice Piet has that story.
Norway's biggest pension company, KLP, and several of the UK's largest supermarket chains have signed an open letter warning against the proposed law. There were attempts to get the bill signed into law a year ago, but it was withdrawn after more than 40 foreign commercial organisations made the same threat over supply chain sourcing. Conservationists argue that if the bill passes, it would lead to a race to clear trees and win legal rights over land in the world's largest remaining rainforest. Brazilian congressional leaders have indicated the bill could be put up for a vote again this week.
Candice Piet reporting there. This week, the world's biggest jewelry company, Pandora, said it's turning its back on using diamonds mined out of the ground and using only lab-created ones. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs looks at what the long-term implications could be for the rest of the industry.
Square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Diamonds have long been a way to splash the cash. The gemstones are often used as an expensive token of love. But concerns about the environment, sustainability and working practices in the mining industry have led to growing demand for alternatives to mine diamonds. Denmark-based Pandora says this change is part of a broader sustainability drive. Here's the company's boss, Alexander Lasik.
What lab-created or sustainably lab-created diamonds offer, we can essentially create the same outcome as the nature has created, but at a very, very different price.
Production costs can be as little as a third of that for mined diamonds. But one of the big concerns about the synthetic variety is the amount of electricity it can take to make them. The majority are made in China, where coal-powered electricity is widespread. However, in the US, the biggest market for synthetic diamonds, many are made with renewable electricity. Man-made diamonds make up about 5% of global sales, but are expected to be the fastest-growing part of the market. The consultancy Bain asked diamond jewellery buyers around the world why they preferred the synthetic option. Olya Lind led the research and explains the top reasons.
They felt that the brands we're considering had better design and also lower price or discount. And we also had an option which was less impact environmental, more sustainable or ethical. That did not get into the top five.
The use of mined diamonds to fund conflicts is also a big concern for consumers. But Pandora's CEO is amongst those who think the new option will help grow the whole diamond industry. That would certainly be welcomed after the damage wrought by the pandemic. Figures from the Antwerp World Diamond Centre and Bain show that last year, production of mined diamonds had fallen 27% from its 2017 peak. All of this could just prove, in the words of James Bond, that diamonds really are forever. In London, I'm the BBC's Jonathan Josephs for Marketplace.
Well, lab-created diamonds are one thing. How about lab-grown caviar? The boss of the UK's first caviar company is experimenting with the possibility. Kenneth Benning says it's quicker to make and will be significantly less expensive than the traditional form of the delicacy. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.